Good morning, everybody. I work with the North Carolina Division of Public Health and Injury and Violence Prevention. And when I joined the branch last year, I was tasked with increasing our capacity around alcohol surveillance. And then more recently, I've been kind of transitioning into drug overdose surveillance. So I'm really excited about this project. It's a very simple descriptive analysis, but it's a chance to kind of bring those two worlds together, and perhaps they shouldn't really be two separate worlds in the first place. So we're looking today at involvement of alcohol and unintentional opioid poisoning deaths in North Carolina from 2000 to 2015. So quickly, just an overview of what I'd like to cover this morning. I'll start off with a little bit of background and then spend a good bit of time on our methods decisions, and then talk about the percent of alcohol involvement in opioid overdoses overall, and then break it down by drug type, and wrap up with some conclusions and next steps. So on to background, as I'm sure as most of us know in this room, that use of alcohol and opioids at the same time can greatly increase the risk of fatal overdose for people using both substances. And we, like most states in the country, have been experiencing an increase in opioid deaths, and that's been getting a lot of attention nationally. A lot of our efforts in the branch are focused on the opioid epidemic, but we don't really pay attention to alcohol and alcohol's involvement in some of these opioid deaths. So we wanted to take a look at how many of these opioid overdose deaths also had alcohol on board. So just to give a little background about the changes in the opioid epidemic in North Carolina over time, this is a new way that we just recently in our branch started grouping the opioid deaths. And I know that there are some flaws with these groupings, and I'll get into that some on the next slide when I go over our methods. But really quickly to walk through this, the bottom green section there are just number of deaths due to prescription opioids. And then the top dark blue section are number of deaths in North Carolina unintentional due to illicit opioids. And then the middle section, the lighter blue, that's people who had both a prescription and an illicit opioid on board. So I might refer to them throughout the presentation as like a polydrug use category. And so what's been happening in North Carolina, that you can see prescription opioid deaths have really been the bulk of the problem and initially were most of the problem. But over the last couple of years, we've seen a slight decrease in prescription opioid deaths, and we're really seeing an increase in those deaths due to illicit opioids. We actually, in 2015, using these definitions for the categories, had the exact same number of deaths due to illicit opioids as we did prescription opioids in North Carolina. So into the methods section, I was using vital records death certificate data for this analysis, and we looked at, again, the years 2000 to 2015. In the primary cause of death code needed to be an unintentional medication drug code, so the X40 to X44 codes, and then we looked for all of the deaths that were unintentional opioid deaths, so also had a T code for an opioid. And so this is where I get into those categories on the previous slide. So to be a prescription opioid death, that included deaths that had either a methadone code, the T40.3, or an other opioid code, and did not have a code for a different opioid, so either methadone or other opioids. Then the illicit opioid category had a code for heroin or a code for other synthetic narcotics, and did not have one of those codes for the prescription opioid definition. And then the prescription and illicit category, that polydrug use, had either a code for methadone or other opioids, or could have had both, and additionally had one of the codes for the illicit opioid category to be in this grouping. So I know that there are some flaws with this definition, the main one being that other synthetic narcotic category. That's mainly, we're talking about fentanyl there. We all know that fentanyl could be a prescription, but we feel from looking at some of our toxicology data in the state that, especially in recent years in North Carolina, the majority of the fentanyl deaths are illicitly manufactured fentanyl, which is why we decided to include it in this illicit opioid category for this analysis. You also have flaws with the prescription classification. People could have died from a prescription opioid that they obtained illicitly, so and didn't necessarily have a prescription for it themselves. Without looking at our controlled substance reporting system data, we're not able to make that distinction in this analysis. And then finally, when I broke out all of the groups for the different opioid classification deaths, then we looked for deaths within those categories that also had a code for alcohol involvement. So the list of codes for alcohol poisonings are listed here. And so I spent all that time talking about those different categories because I'd like to, in this presentation, kind of walk through alcohol involvement in those illicit versus prescription versus polydrug use categories. But first, just an overall alcohol involvement in all unintentional opioid overdoses in North Carolina. The green line at the top there, that's all unintentional opioids, regardless of type of opioid, and those do include, that's with and without alcohol involvement. So that's just the total rate in North Carolina. And then the blue line at the bottom shows the rate of those opioid deaths that also had alcohol and a code for alcohol poisoning. And so you can see lower rates for those that involved alcohol, but it, like, the overall rate is increasing. And so when we looked at these, we were wondering, is the rate, the alcohol involved rate, increasing just because of, by virtue of the overall opioid rate is increasing in our state? So we would see an increase in both lines. So we decided to look at the percent involvement of alcohol in these cases to see if there's been any change over time and what proportion of these opioid overdoses also had a code for alcohol poisoning. So this is the only slide I'm going to be showing that's rates, and all of the rest of them will be percents. So this is, over time, the percent of alcohol involvement in unintentional opioid overdoses. So what proportion of the all of the unintentional opioid overdoses also had a code for alcohol poisoning. And I'll go ahead and say that I don't know what was happening in 2000 and 2001. Kind of messed up my trend lines there. If we had started in 2002, this would have been a lot nicer picture, a better story to tell. But alas, we started with our first year of data. And so in 2000 and 2001, you see higher percents, about 10% involvement of alcohol among all opioid overdoses. And then it decreases, but that's why I've added this trend line. The dotted line is just the overall trend line that we can see there has been a slight increase in alcohol involvement across all unintentional opioid overdoses. And then just a quick look at the demographics. So this is all unintentional opioid overdoses with and without alcohol codes. So the green bars are just the percentage for without alcohol. So about 60% of the deaths without alcohol were male. And then when you look at the deaths that did have an alcohol code, you see a much higher percentage for males. Over 80% of the deaths, opioids and alcohols, were male. We also saw an increase in the with alcohol group for the ages 35 to 54, and these differences held true throughout all drug types. So now I'll kind of break it down by all those different categories I covered at the beginning. So to start with looking at prescription opioids and alcohol. So this is the percent of alcohol involvement among that prescription opioid category. So again, these are people with a code for methadone and or a code for an other opioid. And so in 2000, we had an 8% alcohol involvement, and then in 11.3% in 2000, and an 8% alcohol involvement in 2015. So if we were just looking at those start and end dates, we would think maybe we had a slight decrease in alcohol involvement, but the overall trend line, again, because those beginning years were unusually high, we do see a slight increase in the trend line over this time period. So moving on to illicit opioids. So these are the heroin and the other synthetic narcotic codes. So this is both of those codes combined. We do see a sharper increase in percent alcohol involvement among this group, 6.8% at the beginning, and then in 2015, almost a 16% of these cases also had alcohol on board. And because we're still feeling a little iffy about including that other synthetic narcotics code in this illicit category, we did break it out to look at heroin and other synthetics separately. So this is the line for the other synthetic narcotics, so things like fentanyl. And we do, again, see an increase over time up to almost 15% of these cases involving alcohol in 2015. And then here we see the heroin trends. And so these are people who only had a T code for heroin. They didn't have a T code for other synthetics or other opioids, methadone, anything else. It's just the X40 to X44 and then a heroin T code. And so we see actually the sharpest increase among this group with the percent increase in alcohol involvement. Almost 18% of these cases in 2015 involved alcohol. And then finally, that last polydrug use category, people who had a code for both a prescription opioid and an illicit opioid, and the percent that involved alcohol for those, actually had 0% of these involving alcohol in 2000, and by 2015, 17% of these polydrug use cases also had a code for alcohol. And then just quickly, so that we can look at all the trends on the same slide, these are the trend lines for those three separate categories. So we can see in green, the prescription opioid category has remained fairly constant. We've seen a slight increase in the trend, but really among that illicit and then that illicit plus prescription category, we've seen a pretty significant increase in percent of alcohol involvement. And then just to break out that illicit category again into heroin and other synthetic narcotics, we really see that the heroin trend is what's driving that, especially that we're seeing the largest percent increase among these deaths. So there were several limitations to this analysis. As I talked about in the beginning, those categories have kind of some major flaws with them, but we feel like this is the best that we can do with the coding system as it is, and that it is important to differentiate between these categories. We did also have a small handful of cases that had a T40.0 code, the opium code, and most of those were, it was like, I think, five in total, and they were in the very beginning years of the analysis. We weren't sure where they would fall in our groupings of illicit versus prescription, so we just excluded them from this analysis, and I don't really feel like they would have made much of a difference in the percent alcohol involvement. North Carolina is unfortunately one of the handful of states that still does not have an electronic death certificate system. It's all still done by hand. And so we've got a significant lag time because of this. And so it's possible that we're missing some cases where toxicology is still pending, and then our State Center for Health Statistics has to close out the death file for the year, and then those pending cases don't get updated in the file that I was using for analysis. And then finally, we do recognize that this is an undercounting of alcohol involvement in these deaths for many different reasons, but also mostly I think because we were using the vital statistics data and I only had access to death records. I wasn't able to access the toxicology data. So these are only cases that had enough alcohol involvement to make it onto their death certificate and get that code for alcohol poisoning. If we were able to do this analysis again, which I would like to hopefully do in the future, and use toxicology data, I'm sure that we would see a higher percent of alcohol involvement. But nevertheless, we are able to draw some important conclusions from this. First of all, probably unsurprisingly, the percent of alcohol involvement was higher among males. And trends of alcohol involvement were increasing across all drug types in our state, with the highest percent increase being among heroin deaths, and then also that group that involved both prescription and illicit opioids. We'd really like to look closer at that group. That polysubstance use, I think, is an important category. And then I think most importantly, the takeaway point is that really since 2010, across all drug types, we saw at least 10% alcohol involvement in these deaths, which is pretty significant, especially considering we won't really talk about it. I've heard a lot of presentations about opioids over the last 3 days, and alcohol doesn't usually get mentioned, and perhaps it is something that we really do need to be paying attention to and kind of working into our regular surveillance, especially around the opioid epidemic. And then a couple of next steps for this work, we would really like to look into alcohol involvement among self-inflicted poisonings. And from some of the presentations I've seen over the last few days and conversations I've had with some of you all, I'd also be interested in looking at those cases that had an opioid, alcohol involvement, and benzodiazepine as well, because we know that also increases the chance for overdose. So that's it for me. I'd like to thank Scott Preschel-Bell, who's been somewhere in the audience, but he's been a wonderful mentor to me over the last year and a half while I'm learning all the ins and outs of drug epidemiology, and I'm happy to take questions. Good morning.
Surprise, surprise. great job, Mary Beth. I really appreciate this. I First of all, of course, needless to say, I agree with you that alcohol involvement needs to be considered, and I think it opens up a whole other set of opportunities to look at prevention of excessive drinking as a way of getting at opioid overdose as well. My question, though, has to do with the alcohol involvement and the underreporting. And as you know from some large meta-analyses, actually on the order of about 1 in 4 people mm-hmm. who die of poisonings due to drugs other than alcohol actually have very high blood mm-hmm. alcohol levels as well, 100 milligrams per deciliter or greater. And I know you have an excellent medical examiner system in North Carolina, and I know there have been studies in the past that have looked at the correlation between causes of death registered by the medical examiner system and those that are entered in the death certificate. But my question is the extent to which coding of alcohol involvement in the death certificate might be informed by data that's available from the medical examiner system. So when is that information even available typically to people who are filling out death certificates? If so, I would expect alcohol involvement would be higher.
I really don't have an answer to that question. We're kind of increasing our partnership with the medical examiner's office right now, and that's a great thing to look into and see how many cases had alcohol involvement on the toxicology and then what proportion of those are actually getting an alcohol code on the death certificate. But it's a little bit sometimes of a black box with how it goes from the toxicology's office to our State Center for Health Statistics and those who are coding the death certificates, and then to finally what we get to see with that final death file.
Got it. Good. Thanks.
Hi, Michael Bauer from New York. Great presentation, really interesting. I was curious if you looked at it all, just sort of the general population alcohol use, maybe in the deaths, I'm not sure, like overall deaths with alcohol, and whether the alcohol increase with the opioids is matching sort of alcohol increase overall,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being something specific with the opioids. Probably is, I'm sure, something specific with the opioids, but if you had some sort of control to look at alcohol increase over time compared to alcohol increase with the opioid deaths.
That's a great point, and we haven't for this analysis yet, but that'd be a really interesting thing to look at. And total alcohol-related death is, as I'm sure Bob and Daphna could address better than I could, but really complicated because there are so many different things that can be attributable to alcohol death, causes of death attributable to alcohol, but not 100% directly caused by alcohol, so it gets a little complicated. But CDC does have a great tool, their RD tool online, that can give estimates. And so we've done some of that in the past, but not in relationship to this analysis. So that's a great suggestion. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Holly Hedegaard from the National Center for Health Statistics. Very nice presentation. I have just a couple questions. Number one, because you looked over a long time period, 16 years, do you have any information about the improvements or lack of improvements in the quality of reporting of both drugs and alcohol on the death certificates and how much that might have influenced the results that you saw? And the second question is, you know, there's multiple places on the death certificate where information is captured. So there's the chain leading up to death, there's the other significant conditions, and then there's also how the injury occurred. Mm-hmm. So when you were looking for alcohol, were you looking in the set of codes that are related to the actual causal chain, or were most of these alcohol mentions more in other significant conditions or in the how the injury occurred information on the death certificate?
So I'm going to attempt to answer this as best I know. Scott might be able to contribute a little bit better, but my understanding, so our death file has a primary cause of death, and then everything else is just underlying causes of death without sort of any ranking of significance. And so I was just looking in for the alcohol poisoning codes within all of those other underlying. Right.
Where on the death certificate that alcohol might have been mentioned.
Exactly. And we have heard just recently, been talking some with our Center for Health Statistics about the possibility that if there are multiple lines, like people who have 20 different substances on board, and that it may be that when someone's hand entering those and coding it for the death certificate, that we're not sure, but we're looking into whether or not maybe just the first or second line is making it onto the death certificate, and then just the rest of it's kind of getting dropped off. And if alcohol is one of the last ones listed, I'm worried that it's not getting captured. So that's something that we're looking into more.
Thank you.
Thank you.